Blog Talk Radio.
The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
Live studios of 89.1 KENS FM, and we have a great show again tonight, and we have an action-packed show tonight with Melanie Dyer, and we have our living legend who is going to be joining us talking about all the stuff of AWA wrestling. We have Mario Mancini, and we have Donna Hamlin. And it's going to be an action-packed show, and I cannot wait. So let's, waiting in the wings, we have Granny Hulkster. How are you, Granny?
I'm good.
And we have a special guest host with us, and it is Tatiana Vitalino. How are you, Tatiana?
Hi, I'm good. This is Tatiana Vitiello at Tokyo H Podcast, and you're listening to the Attitude Era Live on 89.1 KENS FM with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster.
Awesome. And as I said, we have a great show tonight. Our first guest will be calling here in about 15 minutes. So for all of you who are just joining us for the first time, I am the Icon. And like I said, we have Granny, and we have our a new segment that we're going to do on the show every week, because our main third wheel, Big Swing, is always busy running the bar that he bought. So, you know, I guess when you get into the big time, you forget about the little stuff, and you concentrate on the big stuff, which we can't really blame him, but that is what it is. So our first guest will be joining us here in about, I don't know, maybe 14 minutes or so. But in the meantime, let's get a little background of our guest host, Tatiana. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, like I said, I'm Tatiana Vitiello. No one can get that right, but it's okay. I forgive you. I'm a podcast host. I've been a podcast host for about 11 months now, and I just hit 10,000 listeners the other day, so I'm really excited. I'm so happy to be on your show. I'm just a talker. I always say I'm not intrusive. I'm just nosy.
Well, you know, when it, I guess that comes with the territory, being a podcast host, and you know, we have a we're going to continue doing our due diligence to help out Ken's FM 89.1. You go to our Facebook page, you like that, Off the Ropes. You go to our Facebook page, Ken's FM, you like that. Do a $10 monthly donation to Ken's FM. We'll get you qualified to win an autographed picture from a current guest, a future guest, or a past guest. So if you take care of those three items, we will get you qualified for said drawing. And I know that, Tatiana, I know that you're not much of an autograph giver, but I'm sure that you'd be able to help us out with that when you get some autograph pictures or memorabilia or whatever you got.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I sent it in, and it says it'll be there on the 4th.
Perfect. And, well, Granny, we'll talk to Granny, get a little update with Granny. So, how did your football team fare this weekend? Mine didn't do so well.
Well, we had a bye week. We don't play. We played Denver on the 5th of December. We had the week off, weekend off, so we had a bye week this week. So right now, as it stands, the Broncos beat the Chargers, the Raiders, you know, they beat the Cowboys, of course. So they're all... I believe 6-5. Kansas City is 7-4. So our next three games are against the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Raiders. So if we can win all three of those games, we're going to move further up into first place, which I'm hoping that we do.
Well,
so
you know, technically,
I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Technically. Since your team did not play, technically we'll have to give you a win for the week because my team obviously did not win. And Big Swing's team, well, let's see. I think, did they squeak out a victory on Thanksgiving night? I can't remember. Did they or did they
well,
not?
Well, no, they lost to the Raiders.
They lost, yeah, to the Raiders.
Oh, that's right.
They lost
so,
to the Raiders.
So we probably will not be hearing Touchdown Raiders tonight, played by Big Swing. I'm thinking probably not.
Or how about them Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably won't be hearing either of those. But you know, when Big Swing likes to eject himself, he always likes to play one of those.
Touchdown Raiders.
Okay, well, maybe he's listening.
You had to open your mouth, Icon. We have
I'm
keep
sorry.
Quiet.
I'm sorry. So,
that's okay.
Well, Tatiana, tell us a little bit about your podcast, and you know, you mentioned you just went to 10,000 listeners. Tell us a little bit about it. How long you've been doing it, and some of the high points of your podcast.
Okay, well, actually, I've been doing it 11 months. My release date was, or my air date was December 27th last year. That was my birthday, and we did a birthday party at one of the – I started off in the gentlemen's club, and it's because I was a door girl for 12 years. So I got, you know, my break from there because a lot of the owners and managers would let me in. I get a table. I know the girls. I know the owners, the customers. So I've just been going around to all the major clubs. And then I landed a big spot about 2 months in for the Super Bowl. That was last year here in Tampa Bay, and the Bucks won. Of course, that's our home team. And I did a big 5-part series live at the Dollhouse in Tampa with Warren Colazzo. And I mean, that's what took off because it was the Super Bowl. We won. I'm not originally from here. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, so I'm all about, you know, I went to Michigan State. And but, you know, you are where you live. So I'm here. I've been here almost 20 years, so I had to take it in. That's what my autograph picture has, is me in my Bucks jersey.
Well, you know, speaking of Michigan State, I like Michigan State. I don't like the University of Michigan. Unfortunately,
me neither.
They beat my Buckeyes this weekend, and I had a devastating weekend this weekend. But I'm going to bounce back this weekend with hopefully a big victory by NDSU. They play the Salukis of Southern Illinois University on Saturday. Going to be there live for that game. And
wow.
Hopefully my weekend will be better because, you know, the Vikings play Detroit. So I should be able to come out 2-0 this weekend, and we'll see what happens, I guess. So our first guest will be calling in here in about in a few minutes, according to what I just was texted. So when they come on, we'll talk to them and have some fun. But anyway, like I say, unfortunately, Big Swing is not here with us. He might pop in later. He is listening. I'm surprised he actually played that clip, but but anyway,
that was a nice one.
Yeah, unless he hit the wrong clip, because what he doesn't know is the how about them Cowboys and the touchdown Raiders. What I did was I actually changed the label for both of them. So when you play touchdown Raiders, it's actually how about them Cowboys, and when you play how about those Cowboys, it's actually touchdown Raiders. So
well, now he knows, right?
I don't know.
I'm going to say if he's listening, now he knows.
If he's listening, he'll know.
All right. Well, if he's not, we won't tell him. We'll just let him think that he's got the upper hand anyway. We're here on 89.1 Ken's FM in Fargo, North Dakota, and we're going to take a little time out here. We'll be back in about 60 seconds, and our next guest should be on with us, but we'll be back here in about 60 seconds. I can play this correctly. Okay.
As a non-commercial radio station, Ken's FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
And you want to keep hearing us on Monday nights, and you want to keep hearing all the great shows and music that Ken's FM plays, that $10 a month will go a long way to help out with that. So we want you to definitely do that for us, and you can keep us going, and everything will be great. So anyway, so we're waiting for my next guest. In the meantime, we'll just keep talking to our gals here. Anybody do anything interesting over the Thanksgiving holiday?
Not really.
Granny?
I can't.
I just went out. We went out with some friends for Thanksgiving Day for lunch to Village Inn. So that's all we did. So.
All right.
Are you in Florida? Are you in Florida with me, Granny?
No, I'm in Arkansas.
Oh, okay. You said Village Inn, so I thought it was over. I'm in Florida. Is
yeah,
it
we
snowing?
We have a Village Inn restaurant, one in Bentonville, Arkansas, and one in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hey, is it snowing up in Nevada? No, near not Nevada. It's North Dakota. Scott.
Right. I'm in North Dakota. It's not snowing here, but our first guest is on with us here. So I will go ahead and introduce her, and then we'll have some fun. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, she is the reason why Hollywood still exists. She is the reason why you can turn on your TV and get fully entertained, just like this radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Melanie Dyer.
Hello, folks. This is Nova Justice Scratch, your friendly neighborhood wastelander. You're listening to Attitude Era live on 89.1 Kens FM with your host, the Icon, the Big Sling, and Granny Holster. Thank you guys so much for inviting me today.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. I almost forgot to tell you the truth about this. I woke up briefly, and I was like, oh, my kids got me up. And they're like, remember the show. And I'm like, oh, no. And I rest on you.
Well, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be the first time someone forgot about, but at least you didn't skip out of us completely. We won't talk about that. This is your time. So here's what we're going to do here, Melanie. If you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, and I'll ask you some questions, and we'll do a roundtable, and we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions.
All right. Definitely. I started this venture of cosplay back in 2016 with my tribe up here in Montana. Yeah, Montucky. We were called MT Souls originally. We partnered up with a couple of different companies like Zombie Tools. What was the other company name? The car company? Apocalypse Edsel? Auto was the other company.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And then what had happened was the boys had fabricated a train winter snowplow onto a school bus. Out of Troy, Montana, that they purchased. So they're pretty big on just, you know, creating different vehicles. They had another one. What do you call it, babe? That they created at SCAT. There was stop signs, like a bunch of signs that were fabricated for the body on that. And then the one they jumped, the Fiero that they created, again, out of different parts from all sorts of cars and vehicles. And then we attend this event once a year in September, around the last week, I believe. Yeah, last week of September, you're immersed into the Mojave Desert, pretty much in cosplay that you create yourself, hand-sewn everything from head to toe. Bring fabricated vehicles from people from all sorts of the world, even Australia, Japan. People from Japan came. That was insane to meet them. You had people from the movies like Fury Road. What was his name? Nathan Jones attending the event. That was amazing. I have to say this on the side quickly. He ate off of my plate. I was so humbled. I was like, oh my goodness. They ran out of the plates at the main barbecue pit for everybody that they were serving the vendors. And we were like, yeah, we brought a bunch, you know, Costco's the big thing that we hit for. We hit the event, so we were able to provide them with four plates, and he wasn't going to be eating that. The big, giant guy wasn't going to be eating a tiny little bowl. So, save the day it's an awesome event.
Well, since you were sharing your plate with a big superstar like that, it's a good thing that they allowed seconds because, you had to eat, and so did he. So, now... So, what kind of go through this a little bit? I want to kind of start with your character. Now, your character's name is
Nova Justice Scratch. Currently, Ladies of Corrosion. Yeah.
And this event that you guys do, you mentioned you've been doing it a long time. And has anybody approached you about, maybe doing a spinoff of your character and turning into a different type of TV show? Because I think that'd be really cool.
Oh, my goodness. We MT Souls was originally contacted by, I think, a French documentary reporter. And then they were also, we were reached out for a movie. What was it, a short movie out in California? I don't know what became of that, but to say in the least, we had separated from that group. Or it was called Scrubbers, I guess. And it was supposed to be, what, aliens and with a bus involved in the background and a little apocalyptic type of cyber. It was a C movie, to say in the least. But I never got to see any more of it. But you could totally look Apocalypse Auto up and Zombie Tools up on YouTube. They have a bunch of stuff going on there, and I wish them best luck in their endeavors. But when we had separated, we created our own event that we got inspired from Wasteland called Montana Quarantine. And we were actually going to work on a movie once we had established a lot of space, but, you know, the photography. We had hired some, but they fell through. So nothing ever became of it as of yet, but we would like to move in that direction. Yes, that would be so exciting.
So if you decide to move in that direction, what would you be looking for? Would you be looking for like an episodic TV series? Maybe like maybe start out as a movie and then become a television show. What would your ultimate goal be?
I think first we would probably start with a comedy, right? Or comic book, sorry. Oh, uh-oh, are you still there?
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I heard a beep, so I was like, oh, no. We would start out as a comic book, and then we would move into the movie first, then the series? Pilot? Yeah, probably do a pilot episode after the comic released. So that's the direction we were moving in, me and Lobo here. And so pretty much our backstory real quick is just like he wakes up during radiation and a pile of bodies. She is enslaved by her family, her father and brothers. He comes and rescues her out of that enslavement, post-apocalypse, you know, after a nuclear war and everything like that. And so he's a little loopy. She's kind of not all there herself. And they kind of work through the world. And she's kind of very kind causing a lot of chaos for him unnecessarily. She doesn't know. She hasn't been outside her enslavement. So she's kind of adapting and assimilating to society as it is post-apocalypse. And he is just kind of holding on and, you know, being a sniper and getting her through and and congregating more people to join. And so that's what we were trying to go out with that Montana quarantine and expanding a community and grabbing them in and getting more people involved in that. Not just cosplay, but, I mean, gun shooting, off-roading, camping, you know, a lot of communal stuff. So we were moving into that direction as well.
Sounds like Melanie, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Melanie Dyer is our guest here. We got about 23 minutes here. Let's do a little roundtable. I'm sure my co-host would have some questions. I don't know how many she might have, but Granny, what do you have for our guest, Melanie Dyer? We got 22 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, what's it like to do cosplay? I mean, I have a lot of friends that actually do that, and it looks like it's, you know, it would be fun to do. I mean, I've never done it, but I know I have a lot of friends that have done it, and they seem like they really enjoy doing what they do.
Oh, man, it's amazing. I, you know, work at a warehouse all year round. It's a lot of hard work. It's a high capacity, you know, just very stressful environment. And then when I get to this event, I get to step out of myself. You get to step out of yourself, out of the reality, out of politics, out of present day, whatever. It can be like you go to what was the other event that happens in a detonation. I know there's a junkyard festival in Georgia. I mean, just any festival, I mean, of any genre. You step out of yourself into a character you want to embody. You get more courageous, you get more confident, you get more outside of your box. I could tell you at like 17 years old or 12 years old, I could never imagine myself in that type of environment, Mad Max environment ever. I never pictured myself until I met my husband Lobo here, and he was already like a mechanic. He used to build engines, so that's how he heard about, you know, other people fabricating vehicles all around the world and seeing what they can do. And it was beautiful art. If you ever get the chance, Wasteland Weekend, it's amazing. You know, just experience it once. But yeah, any cosplay, you get that freedom, and it kind of inspire others, and you kind of build off of that, and then all of a sudden you have this complete community and family that you're a part of, and it's just amazing. So, I mean,
well, that kind of ties in because, see, I'm a big, huge wrestling fan, like WWE wrestling. I have a lot of friends that are independent professional wrestlers. And, you know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, you know, you can get away from the reality of everything. I mean, that's the way it is for me when I go to these wrestling shows because, you know, even though I have this gimmick name, Granny Hulkster, I'm not a wrestler, even though a lot of people think I am. I've had a few wrestlers threaten to throw me in the ring a few times, but I holler at the bad guys at wrestling shows. I mean, I will get in their face. I mean, I will talk smack to them. They'll tell me to sit down and shut up before I break a hip, or don't you have a curfew at the nursing home? And I'll tell them, I'll say, baby, if you're man enough to make me come over here and sit down and shut up, you just come over and do it. And, I mean, I have so much fun, you know, interacting with these wrestlers, you know, and everything. And I try to make it fun for the fans. I make it fun for the wrestlers. I mean, I just have a good time. And I tell you, that just, you know, like two and a half, 3 hours, I can just, you know, I can walk in that building and I can sit down in that chair. And I mean, like anything that I got going on in my personal life or whatever, I could just leave all those problems outside that door. And for two and a half, 3 hours, I am just like the most happiest, content person you've ever seen in your whole entire life. Because, I mean, sometimes I don't have a voice at the end of the night.
Oh, I love it.
Holler, because I holler so much, you know. And, I mean, I love doing what I do. So that's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we also, and within that event, that same event, Wasteland Weekend, they have something called Juggernaut matches, and I swear you would fit right in. We could totally get down on Granny Hulkster being in that ring and slam and showing people what she's got. You know, I can totally see that happening. That would be lovely.
Well, I don't know if I
well,
can,
I'll tell you what, we'll definitely have to talk about that,
because I've had two knee replacements and a pacemaker. So I don't know if I could actually body slam
someone out there trying. Road Rash. We have someone out there, Road Rash. He had a heart replacement surgery. He's, I think, 80 years old, and he screams on the top of his lungs. I swear to God, he gave this to me in 2019, our 10th anniversary event there, where my husband actually was working and helped build the entire event with the main guys, Adam Chilton and was Jared Butler. The two main guys that run the event. But we do this event 7 days straight, Granny Hulkster. You would be immersed more than just hours. It is such a tight community out there. It's amazing. So,
Melanie Dyer is our guest here. We got about 17 minutes. And we'll definitely talk about we're definitely going to talk about the event and all that here in a little bit. But I want to bring in our third co-host, Tatiana. She's on my – Granny's on my left, and Tatiana's on my right as you're listening to your radio. You might be a perfect guest for her radio show as well. Tatiana, what do you got for our guest? Melanie Dyer, we got about 16 minutes. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I just want to say I love the cosplay. I love the Walking Dead. I'm just happy to be here. And actually, you guys were so interesting, I, like, forgot I was co-hosting. So, sorry, I was, like, quiet because I was listening. I would love, we can talk about this later, but I would love for you to come on my show. You know, we're here on the radio and we're talking, and I mean, I'd love to put out events. I love to, you know, advertise, and I'm a nosy person. So I have questions. Like, I just want to know, like, I mean, was this something that you were going for being on TV, or was this something, I know that it kind of just came to you, but I mean, like, did you watch Walking Dead and you were like, this is it? Were you trying to go ahead and be on TV?
Well, actually, initially, not any reality show had inspired me to get out of my skin and kind of be brave to attend something like this for the first time in 2016. It was actually my brother. I was adopted, and my brother had a love for cars, all sorts of vehicles. And then as children, we had attended what was called a, where the cars go into each other. Yeah, Derby.
Oh, Monster Truck? Was it Monster Truck?
Yes. Oh,
not
Monster.
I love them.
Oh, okay.
Or what is it, Demolition Derby?
Demolition Derby.
Demolition Derby, where they crash into each other.
Yeah.
Yes, and my uncle was involved in that. His name, his character name was Joe Mama, and Joe Mama was after your rear. You were done for. He just knew how to cut in at that angle that was just deadly to every car. And, oh, man, he's normally second or first place at the fairground. So
that's
that
awesome.
Was what inspired me to kind of step outside myself, spread the word on this, as well as our own event, Montana Quarantine. I mean, I would love to have a community from all over the world. I have friends all over the world that actually do want to come out here to Montana. It's just because of the pandemic and everything. Like, it's just hard travel right now. But once that gets a little more relaxed, I do want to make it such a expand it, so to speak, not only the storyline on TV, you know, from a comic book, and then to the event that's having more families come together and learn things, you know, and build upon that and have fun, pretty much. I mean, there's a lot of laws and restrictions in other states that Montana doesn't have. And to have that freedom and that release to be who you want to be and be empowered by that and then share that with your loved ones, that's my biggest goal here.
Well, I can't wait till you guys do get a comic book going, because I mean, when you're a comic book character, like, you've made it.
Oh man, thank you.
Well, Melanie Dyer is our guest here, and we have, we have a good 13 minutes here left. Now, I'm going to ask you a few of the tougher questions, and then we'll let you talk about the event and how they can attend and all this other good stuff with that. But, you know, you touched on a little bit with COVID, and like I say, we're not going to spend too much time on it, but it seems like every area, every state has got a different issue with COVID and how it affected them. Kind of take us through how, in your state, how it affected you.
So we had to, especially at my work, had the mask mandate get signed on. At one point, almost forced vaccinations to continue employment and stuff like that, you know, within our society. Those changes were made. And then also congregation of any kind, you know, big groups. What? But early in the beginning, this was all happening, not later, just early in the beginning when it all started happening, with all this happening. It brought on a huge depression in myself and my husband. Well, pretty much everyone here. And we thought, you know what? We need to create an event that gets us away from all of this hecticness, to also alter the mindset. I think that was changed, like the fear. We had people from all over come to that first quarantine, which was back in, 2020? Yeah, 2020. And
around March,
Yep. No one contracted anything. Everybody was healthy. And plus, the land was spacious to begin with. It's about 90 acres. and there's only a million people in the entire state. So we were able to kind of utilize that to bring people together and make it something special. And also, you know, shooting is also really restricted in other states, and we're able to shoot on this land and have actually a children's shooting contest as well as adult female and male contest, and that has been successful every time we've held. Yeah, it's been
And not to be a wiseacre here, but on 90 acres of land, it's easy to social distance, I would guess.
Right, yep.
I hope
that's
so.
That's where I was getting at. My bad.
Melanie Dyer is our guest here. We got 11 minutes. Now, this event, it's obviously a huge event, so we're going to talk about it. First off, tell us when it is, and if people want to come take a look at it and see it and experience it, what do they need to do?
Oh, well, I will tell you about Wasteland for sure. Wasteland's a big, big event, and that happens, again, last week of September. You can go on, what is it, wasteland.com or Wastelander Central on Facebook. And either or, you can you'll be able to hit the link on their website to get and purchase the tickets. And it's normally just what $219 is when we something around $219, $220 plus tax for the entire week. You get the printout and then you show up at the gate with the printout, and they kind of just buzz you in, scan your ticket, and you're good to go for the entire week. And also
now,
there's
you...
options of volunteering
to
attend the event for free.
Melanie Dyer's our guest here. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
So now this event, that people can come watch, do you ever allow participation? Like if someone wants to don a costume and participate, you guys allow that, or is it pretty much just people watching from the sidelines?
It's a full 360-degree immersion. You are in it. So if you're not even in costume, like they've turned away naked people before, you know, because they're like, you gotta give us some substance here, you know, especially in the genre of following the whole immersion to continue thickening and increasing and empowering that immersion, making the experience more fuller and wholesome for everybody attending. And that's kind of how our local event is around as well. Montana Quarantine is we want people coming in dressed in their gear and just wanting to have fun. We have photo shoots as well at the same big event, full of photo shoots. Photographers from around the world come. We had just a couple of our own photographers from our tribe attend our local event. So I'm going back and forth between the two events, but the big event is definitely Wasteland Weekend that you want to check out first. It really gives you an awesome idea about the entire 360-degree immersion experience, you know, if you want to experience something. And you can't get a ticket for that low for a night at a concert, you know what I mean? Like, that is amazing. With us, you're
right.
Just pretty much coming out and having fun, and we're meeting you. If you just DM us locally off my page, and then we also have a tribe page that we have to kind of structure a little bit, but it is called Lobos Lot, right? .com? LobosLot.com, and that has all the information and links on there about our local event here in Montana. And we can totally provide any more answers if anybody else has them by DMing us, and there's information on the page there for that. But Wasteland Weekend is amazing. You should definitely check
that out. What city in Montana is that in?
Missoula, Montana.
Missoula, Montana. See, now, now here's my question, because our fans that listen here on 89.1 Ken's FM, if you go to our Facebook page, Off the Ropes, you like that, you go to 89.1 Ken's FM, you like that, do a $10 donation a month to 89.1 Ken's FM, we'll get you automatically qualified to get an autograph from a future guest, a past guest, or a present guest. And I know that, Melanie, if you can, send us a few autographs, which would be awesome. Now, give us the dates again, not the prices, but the dates on when it is.
Okay, so the Wasteland Weekend is from September 21st, I believe, to the 27th. Every year, once a year.
And it's full week.
Yes, full week. And then
now,
it's definitely you want to go with a tribe that will get you in a little sooner than a week. And you can do what's called pre-setup, pre-setup. So that way you can set up on the grounds before the festival starts roaring. And it depends, like we had a brief setup every year, so we always had early entry. And that extended the experience. So early entry is an option as well. Also, the information's on their website, wasteland.com.
We have Melanie Dyer as our guest here. We got 6 minutes here left. So now I guess my next question is, you know, because, you know, I've never been the best when it comes to reading maps and navigating, and that's why I have a that's why I have a navigation system in my car, because I've known to get lost by looking at a map. But Missoula, Montana is about 14 hours from me. Now, if I if someone wanted to come and see the event, do they have to go for the full week, or can they like get a like a day pass or like a 2 day pass? Take us through
so
that.
So, are you referring to our local event here in Montana, Missoula, Montana?
Yes.
The quarantine? Nope. Okay. So this is how it works. Pretty much, what happens is we get to know you, pretty much, and find out what your interests are and all that stuff. We run it through the tribe and all that, kind of like a preliminary thing, because people's families are going to be there and stuff. So then after that, we'll get to know you and stuff and connect. Then you would come out. It happens in June once every year, and it was like mid-June. Oh, Father's Day weekend is when it starts for a whole week, and they can choose to leave early or show up later. It doesn't matter because things will be happening all week long. And it was on, in Ovando, Montana, these last couple of years. But we've moved it around. So it's definitely just keep in touch. And all the information, again, is on lobelslot.com. And you can DM us from there as well. And we'll keep in touch and keep you updated on as it develops each year.
The reason why I was asking is, do you think that if the icon were to come down there, you might be able to give them a deal on a pass?
Oh, most assuredly.
Awesome.
Well, wait, can I be part
of
your tribe?
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna plan that to come out in June, and I'll be in contact with you. And I know that you said that you'd continue to talk to me if I didn't call you at 2 a.m. And I do apologize for that, because time zones are not my strong suit either. But Melanie Dyer is our guest here. We got about 3 minutes. And real quick here, if our fans want to check you out and see it, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter,
yes,
a Twitch, a TikTok. What do you got?
Facebook is Melanie Dyer. I have all my stuff on there. And then the other Facebook is, what was it? Hey Camp. That also has footage on there. And then the last one, Instagram, is Nova Metal 2019. That is the main one. So my Instagram is Nova Metal 2019, no spaces.
Awesome. And it sounds like it's a pretty fun time, and I do plan on coming out there at least for one day. You know, you guys can dress me up and you know, you can record it and put it on YouTube, especially if I play a character that doesn't survive the weekend. I guarantee you all the people, all my fans of the show will be flocking to watch that happen.
Oh, man. And we'll get our friend Bill come out. So he has the interceptor he brings every year. And, oh, my goodness, that would be amazing to just do some fun short scenes, some silly short scenes in our cosplay. That would be amazing.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, we got about 60 seconds here left, Melanie. I do appreciate you taking time on your schedule to join us tonight, and we would definitely
like to
have you back on again. Maybe have you back on maybe the week before the event in June, or even after the event, so that way you can tell everybody how the icon ruined it, whatever. But we will definitely have you on again, and we do appreciate everything you do, and we thank you for taking time on your schedule to join us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys
Thanks
so much
for
having
on.
Me. Oh, thank
pleasure.
You.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Tatiana, a pleasure.
All right.
And thank you.
Melanie Dyer, ladies and gentlemen, that was awesome. All right. Our next guest is waiting in the wings. But before we go to our guest, we're going to take a quick little time out, and we will be back in about 60 seconds.
As a non-commercial radio station, Ken's FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
$10 a month and help power the tower, as we call it here. But we are going to head right to our next guest here, and I'm going to bring him out of the green room as he walks down the aisle and steps into the ring. He is the living legend. He is Mario Mancini.
Hey, this is former WWE wrestler Mario Mancini, and you're listening to the Attitude Era, live on 89.1 Ken's FM with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster.
How are you, sir? Good to have you. The legend is with us, Mario Mancini, the Double M. How are you?
Well, it's funny you say that, man, because the reason why I became a professional wrestler, I said I was going to become a professional wrestler when I was 14 in 1980, because that summer, the real living legend, Bruno Sammartino, was retiring, and he was my childhood hero. So, you know, man, there's only one living legend. If you want to say the living loser legend, I'll take that. the jobber legend, I'll take that. You could tell I have no ego, right? The jobber legend, Mario Mancini. There you go.
Well, we're definitely gonna talk about that a little bit, Mario, as we go through the interview. You have Granny Hulkster on my left, and you have Tatiana on my right. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a round table, and then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the difficult questions. But first off, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, then I can fill in the gaps with my questions, and we'll do the round table.
Well, okay. On June 20th, 1984, I graduated high school. The next day I turned 18 on June 21st of 84, and then July 31st I signed my contract and had my first match with Greg the Hammer Valentine, and I stayed with the WWF E from July 31st, 84 to April 26th of 1992. My last match was in Huntsville, Alabama with Rick Rude. I have three beautiful daughters, 35, 26, and 15. I've been married three times. And I went to law school. I'm a proud graduate of the Massachusetts School of Law in Andover, Massachusetts. Been with a law firm now. This April coming will be 27 years.
So being a current lawyer and a former wrestler, I suppose that would kind of help out with the case, because you can just say, hey, man, to the judge, hey, if you don't rule in my favor, I can just pile drive you or something.
Well, it's funny. People ask me why I wanted to become a lawyer. It's like it's like a romance for me, really. You walk down the aisle of the courthouse, you open the doors of the courtroom. You go through that half door, which is the bar. That's when they say when you pass the bar, you're allowed to go through that little swinging door. You go through that little swinging door, and that's the arena. And your opponent's on your other side, and the judge is the referee. So it's the closest thing that I could find to pro wrestling without taking the bump, you know, without falling down.
Mario Mancini is our guest here, and you know, I was going to ask you, you talked about, you know, the term jobber. So as a jobber, you're really not a babyface or heel, correct? You're more just like waiting for the flavor of the month, so to speak, to come to the ring and destroy you, correct?
No, not really. No, I was a babyface. Tweeners didn't come until, you know, the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I was definitely a babyface, meaning you name any heel from 84 to 92, and I worked with them. So I didn't get the opportunity, although, I played a heel a handful of times. Like, I worked with Tony Atlas in Madison Square Garden as a heel. But I didn't get to work with guys like Snuka and Tito Santana and Ivan Putski, and I didn't get to work with those guys. I worked with, I was the Undertaker's debut match, November 19th, 1990. That was actually 2 days before his live debut in the Survivor Series. And it was, because it was delayed tape, they aired it after. So when you want to talk about technicalities, I was his debut match in the WWF. I was the debut. Me and FD Jones were the debut match for the Hart Foundation. I was the debut match for King Kong Bundy, for Big Bully Busick, for Demolition twice, because there was an original partner who got replaced by Crusher Khrushchev there, Barry Darso. Kurt Hennig, Jake the Snake Roberts, Rick Rude, Beefcake, Valentine, Orndorff, Kamala the Ugandan Giant, all the Funk Brothers, Terry Funk, Dory Funk Jr., Harley Race, all those guys I wrestled, all the bad guys. So, in fact, I was a babyface.
Mario Mancini is our guest here. We got about 24 minutes here with the legend, the legendary jobber, as they say. And what's cool about him being a legend is he's ranked number 419 out of 500 in Pro Wrestling Illustrated. In the top 500, he's number 419. So when you think about it, Mario, what you and I have in common is when it comes to ranks and, like, class, you have the top of the class, you have the bottom of the class. Where you ranked with the Pro Wrestling Illustrated is where I ranked in my class at Fargo South High School. Some graduated closer to the top. I was closer to the last, but that's a story for another time.
Oh, wow, brother, you're not alone. I mean, that was my story in law school, too. So I was straight C student, you know what I mean? So, I hear you on that one.
Mario Mancini is our guest here. We got about 23 minutes. So here's what I'm going to do. Since you're a baby face, this won't be quite as interesting. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Granny on first, and we'll bring Tatiana. Granny, what do you have for our guest, the jobbing legend, Mario Mancini? 23 minutes.
Well,
go ahead.
First of all, thank you for being on our show. And all those names that you mentioned, I'm very, very familiar with. I mean, my husband and I had the opportunity to get to meet Ron Simmons and Tony Atlas two or three years ago at an autograph signing. And, I don't like the heels. I'm not a wrestler, just so you know. I'm just a big fan of the sport. But I can talk some pretty good smack to the bad guys when I have to. I get in their faces. That's what I love about these independent shows. And Ron Simmons said to me that day, he says, Granny, he says, you're that true fan that we so loved back in the day that we don't see anymore, because I'm not afraid to get up, and of course, when you're at like a WWE show or whatever, it's kind of hard to interact with the wrestlers like you can at an independent show, but I mean, I've met some pretty big names even at independent shows. I mean, I'm friends with the Rock and Roll Express, Trevor Murdoch. I've had dinner with Tommy Dreamer and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And what was your favorite thing about wrestling in the WWE? I mean, what was one of your most challenging matches you had in your career?
Well, I got to tell you, number one, you're right about the independent shows because I own my own independent wrestling promotion and wrestling school along with Paul Roma.
And we will talk about that towards the end.
That's
there.
Awesome. That's awesome.
So, in fact, I cut instruction early tonight to make sure I was home to do the show. So, we've had Tony Atlas at our show. Tony Atlas is a very close brother of mine. We just did a taco festival up in Maine in October. It was like a half hour from his house. And I said, hey, brother, you want to come down, sign some autographs, make some money? He said, sure. So we had a good time there. You know, what was challenging about wrestling, my favorite part of wrestling was the dressing room. You know what? The dressing room was so much fun. I used to say the wrestling got in the way of having a good time. The wrestling actually got in the way. That's how fun the dressing room was.
Wow.
You know, between Kurt Hennig and, you know, his yo-yo tricks and, you know, the Junkyard Dog just put on a show all night in the dressing room. He just had everybody busting a gut. You know, he was a funny guy. Bundy was a very funny guy. To the point where when he got out of wrestling, he did some stand-up comedy. The most challenging thing in the ring with me was, you know, driving home from a show, knowing that I put somebody over that I could work better than, because they had better politics, or they were a freak, you know, and I wasn't a freak, or they had a bloodline or not even a bloodline. Those guys were good workers, just politics, or they used their gender to get over. And I was a better worker than them. And there I am laying on the canvas, you know, looking up at the lights, getting a three count, and this guy can't wrestle his way out of a wet paper bag. That was frustrating. I mean, Dr. D broke my nose in two places. August 9th, 1984 in the West Warwick Music Theater. It was my second professional match. I love David Schultz. We're very close these days. And, you know, he's a great guy, great family guy. But back in the day, you know, pretty much what you saw on TV was David. It wasn't really a gimmick. It was really him. I mean, let's face it, he slapped the hell out of John Stossel, right? So,
right.
He was just a tough guy. He was just a tough guy, and that was my welcome into pro wrestling, was a straight right between my eyes. And
I'll tell you what, we need to take a quick little time out and play a little legal stuff, and then we'll be back with Mario Mancini. We'll be back in just a little bit.
The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
As a non-commercial radio station, Ken's FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
And once again, we have Mario Mancini here with us, and we have 16 minutes here with Mario. Real quick here, Mario, I'm going to introduce you to our other talented co-host. It's Tatiana.
Hey.
Go ahead, Tatiana. What do you got for our guest? Go ahead.
Hi. Well, I just want to say I'm really excited when I seen that the legend was going to be on. I'm 39 years old, but I was into wrestling when I was young. I'm a girl and I'm a tomboy at heart. So I just want to say hi. I'm starstruck. I know that they put, okay. So you were the jobber, and back then I didn't understand that, but now I do. This is what you were brought in to do. I mean, did it hurt your feelings when they would kind of call you one of the worst jobbers in the history, or do you not know that?
Well,
he only won 3 matches.
Yeah, listen, I'm trying to be nice.
Correct,
I don't want him
correct,
to come at me.
Well, I. Somebody made a Wikipedia of me. I don't know who did, but they even had my marriages there and my kids. But, you know, people Google me and they're like, hey, man, you know, you're one of the top 5 jobbers in the history. Like, you know, I'm in 2 WWE encyclopedias, which states that I'm one of the most resilient wrestlers in pro wrestling history, which is pretty cool. But you have to understand, my goal since I was 14 was to be a pro wrestler. And, you know, in the yearbook, they have like a section for future goals, and kids made a joke out of it, president of the United States, richest guy in the world. And, you know, I put there professional wrestler, you know. So I trained 10 months. I started October of my senior year of high school. Tony Altomare trained me, who was the Sicilians with Lou Albano back in the 60s. So he trained me. So I was going into professional wrestling with the intention of being a big star, and because I was a really good wrestler. So for the answer to your question, that hit me in about 1988. And I looked at Hercules Hernandez, and I said, Ray, I think this is it. I don't think they're going to do anything with me. And he's like, don't worry about it, brother. By the time I'm done, I'll be a better jobber than you. Because, you know, that's the saying in the business. At the end, everybody's a jobber, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I Chief J. Strongbow was like a second father to me. We were very close. And I'd always have it out with him, you know. I paid my dues, but, I pulled Vince McMahon over and go, hey, Caesar, you know, we called him, his nickname was Caesar because he was the ruler of the empire. So that was his nickname. I'd say, Caesar, you know.
Appropriate.
I did everything you told me to do. I mean, I did the stretcher matches. I did pile driver on the concrete floor with Orndorff. I did a big stretcher match for Bundy before WrestleMania 3. I did a big stretcher match for Savage before WrestleMania 4. And, you know, I just thought by paying my dues, I'd get something, you know what I mean? And I'd have a lot of arguments with Strongbow about that. About 1988, I said, I don't think they're going to do anything with me. So it got in my head. So in 1989, I decided to, you know, fill up the old syringe and give a shot. And if you really do take a look at me and you take a look at my match, in particular against Playboy Buddy Rose, who was 317 pounds and I slammed him like it was 120, if you look at me there and look at my match with The Undertaker and everything, you look back at my matches, the earlier matches, you'd see a completely different kind of body because, you know, I was all juiced up. I wanted a job, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd say by 1989, 1990, yeah, my feelings started getting hurt because I felt that, you know, I paid my dues and, you know, I should have something, you know what I mean? And that something never came. So in 92, we were in Huntsville, Alabama, and, I just got done working with Rick Rude, and I pulled Vince over and I said, listen, I'm going to be 26 in 2 months. And he's like, wow. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I know. But since I was 18, are you going to do anything with me? And he gave me the same line, he, you know, that Pat Patterson used to give me. I like you. The office likes you. Just be patient. And Vince looked right at me and said, I like you. The office likes you. I said, just be patient. I said, I can't do that anymore. I can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel that, you know, kind of like the fall guy? I mean, they, like you said, they were giving you these lines, and even though they liked you, you were, even though you weren't good at what you did, but because you weren't supposed to be good, you know, your time was supposed to come, and, you know, they kind of, I felt you were used. You know, like I said, back then I didn't know. Now it's different because I'm older.
Well, the things that kept me going were the house shows. So the house shows obviously weren't 2.5 minutes on TV. You know, I was able to go out there and work with Iron Mike Sharp for 17 minutes. I did house show with Don Morocco. I did a lot with Leap and Laney Poffo and stuff. And, you know, I worked with a lot of guys in house shows. And it was rewarding to be walking to the car and have a fan go, Dan Mancini, you could wrestle, huh? How come they don't let you do that on TV? Boy, you're really good, you know. And that would keep me going. That would keep me going because, you know, when I was, you know, 18 years and 40 days old, Vince was nervous, and Tony Alfamar said to him, listen, this kid's the best out of my wrestling school. He's really talented. He's a really good wrestler. And then when it came to those debut matches, you know, that wasn't by chance. Vince put me with Bundy. Vince put me with The Undertaker. Vince picked me for those stretcher matches just before WrestleMania. He you know, when the Honky Tonk Man couldn't move and he had to do a TV match, he had to. They had to get him out there. His pec was so torn, he could hardly move that side of his body. And Wayne turned around and said, you want to put me out there, you could put me out there, but I only trust one guy in here, and that's Mancini. I'll go out there with him. I know he won't, you know, blank me up. So I went out there with Wayne, and I, you know, I put him over like crazy. There were guys I worked with on TV that I had to call moves and tell them how to beat me up. Okay.
Uh-oh, we're telling secrets.
That's the truth.
Mario Mancini's our guest here. We got 8 minutes left. Now I know you've heard the same old cliche several times, Mario, but you know it is true. I am a big fan of yours, and I am glad that you're able to join us tonight. And I will admit I have seen a few of your matches. And to show you that I am a fan, I know that you are a Hall of Famer in the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. I know this, and I also know. And now I'm not being a wiseacre here when I say this, but and I know that you are not a threat to the Undertaker streak, but I know that you did face the Undertaker, and I know you didn't really come out on the losing the winning end. But you got to admit, though, being in the ring with a guy like the Undertaker that's been in the business for so long just had to be an experience, right?
Well, brother, that's the question, and I'm so glad you put it so intelligently, I have to tell you, because the question is usually this. Hey, you knew the Undertaker's first match? I go, yeah. Hey, did you know he was going to last 30 years? And I go, no. I go, I was Big Bully Busick's debut match, too. I worked with Skinner, too. Anybody remember these guys? They were in there for like 6 months. So, no, I didn't know he was going to last 30 years. But you know what? You know, Mark, you know, I got funny stories about guys coming in. You know what I mean? I was sitting in the dressing room one night, and this guy with hair that looked like a bale of hay came walking by me, and he had an M&M on his trunks. And I went up to Strong Boy. I go, who's the guy with the hay hair with my initials on his trunks? And Strongbow talked to me like he usually did. He goes, what do you care? Sit down and shut up. You know, I go, no, who's the guy Who's the guy with the M&M on the tread? Those are my initials. He goes, it's the Macho Man. I go, who the heck is the Macho Man? You know, it's his first day there. So, you know, when I went to work, with, you know, they put me with Mark for a reason, you know, because it was the first time he was going to be out there. And I'm like, what do you want to do? And
so,
he said, well.
Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, you know, you mentioned the Macho Man. So did when Macho Man heard you talking about him, he come up and say, hey, well, listen up here, brother. You win them in the ring, and you're going to lose it in the ring against me.
No, but, you know, obviously I said it so he wouldn't hear me, number one. Number two, you know, Savage, even TV matches, he had to be calmed down. Like, Randy, it's a TV match. Because he would go over every single move, which set an incredible trend today, because I make fun of my guys. Because, listen, when we wrestled, here I'm wrestling you. I'm putting you over. Your finish is a pile driver. I go up to you and I go, pile driver, that's the finish? Yeah. Whether it's TV or a house show. And I go, okay, and I walk away. Now, if it's a house show and you're a heel, I'm going to go out there and outsmart you for about 3 minutes. And then you're going to stop me and put the heat up on me. And then you're going to miss something, and I'm going to make a comeback. You're going to stop me, and then we're going to go home. You know what I mean? So everything was called in the ring. But Savage had to call everything outside the ring. He had to make sure it went move to move. It was very irritating. I give my guys a hard time. I sit there in the dressing room as owner of that company, and I hear these guys talking over the match, and they get so mad at me, and I go, and then I woke up, and then I made breakfast, and then after breakfast, I got in my car, and then I went to the gym, and then I worked out. And I go, why don't you just go over the whole day? You know, so... You know, the business is quite different. But back then, Savage was, you know, he was anal, man. He was really, he was the only guy, really. I tell you, some of the best matches is not knowing anything. I mean, believe it or not, the best matches. I had a match with Iron Mike Sharp one time. And Greg Valentine was the main event as the Intercontinental Champ. And we came back to the dressing room, and he looked at us and said, how the hell am I going to follow that? That's how good
wow.
that match was with me and my job.
Wow.
It was really, I mean, listen, there's two reasons why you become a professional wrestler. One is you want to get into the business, and you want to see if you can get marketable in the business and make money. Two is because you love to wrestle. And I'm that ladder guy. I just love to wrestle. You know, I just love to go on the road. I love to go into the arenas. I mean, the best thing that ever occurred to me in my career was, you know, when I was 14 years old, you'd go up to the escalator of the Coliseum outside of it. You go up an escalator, and then there'd be a platform. And you would lean on that platform, and you would be able to see the guys park across the street, walk across the street into the building. And everybody would yell to Bob Backlund and superstar Billy Graham, and none of them would look up and everything. And then 4 years later, you know, I take my car. I'm not in the Coliseum parking garage now. I park my 1977 big green Thunderbird across the street. I grab my bag, put it over my shoulder, and I start walking across the street for the first time, my first match in New Haven. And the kids are leaning over that platform, that rail, and they're going, Mario, Mario, Mario. And I just dropped my bag, and I looked up at them, and I had a conversation with them. Because that's what I wanted 4 years before that. And none
that's
of them
awesome.
Would do it. And when I did it, when I was able to do it, I did it. The whole thing was just a romance for me. You know what I mean? I just loved it. I loved, you know, filling out an application for a credit card, and it said occupation, and I put down Titan Sports, you know, and professional wrestler, you know. And, you know, it was just, you know, I never take it for granted. You know, Paradise Valley Pro Wrestling has done a lot of charity shows. You name the charity, we did it. We've done it for a ton of charities and given the gate away to charities. It's just, you know, and being with Roman now 37 years, you know, when he started, he was 25, I was 18. Now I'm 55 and he's 62. He lives a minute and a half from me. And, you know, Big Steve Tracy and Paul Perez, who was also in the WWF, they were also there. They're the other two instructors in production in the company. And I just feel very fortunate.
Mario Mancini is our guest here. We've got about 30 seconds here left. If our fans want to check you out and see you and follow you, what you're doing, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, what do you got?
Well, yeah, they can hit me, Mario Mancini, on Facebook, Instagram. You know, they could look up Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling and check that out. Yeah, terrific.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Mario, we thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us. We do appreciate it, and you are a hero of ours, and we would definitely like to have you back on again, and I promise I'll stop calling you at 2 in the morning, because as we've talked about on the show, time zones are not my strong suit, unfortunately.
Well, 2 in the morning, you gave me an 11-hour heads-up. You're on in 11 hours.
He gave me a 10-hour heads up, so it's okay.
Listen,
thanks for being on, Mario.
Listen, I love doing them. I never say no. So anytime
you
want
me on, Mario,
we can expand.
Definitely, we appreciate it, Mario. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, Mario Mancini, ladies and gentlemen, that was an interesting interview, and He actually gave away my secret that I do give people countdowns, but our next guest is waiting in the wings, but we'll go to our next guest in a second, but we need to take care of some business. We will be back in 60 seconds.
As a non-commercial radio station, Ken's FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
On Facebook, you like that, and you do a $10 donation, we'll get you automatically qualified to win an autograph from our future guest, a past guest, or a present guest. And speaking of present guests, we have got the coolest actress ever to grace the airways here at Attitude Era Live. Ladies and gentlemen, as she steps out of the green room and walks down the aisle, she is the very beautiful and lovely, she is Donna Hamlin.
Hey, this is Donna Hamlin. You're listening to the Attitude Era Live on 89.1 Ken's FM with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster.
Hey, Donna, how are you? Thank you for joining us. And you have Granny Hulkster on my left, and we have Tatiana on our right. What I will do here is I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable, and then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions, and we'll have some fun. So how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on this fabulous show. This is really exciting for me.
I do appreciate you saying that. Now, if you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, and then I'll ask you a few questions, and we'll do the round table, and then we'll come back to me. I'll ask you the tougher questions.
Oh, boy. Okay. Do I need to, like, start chewing my nose? Well, I am a Las Vegas, Nevada-based actress, and I started out in modeling. I had an agent here. Well, I had several agents here. You know, I did auditions for Disney, everything, did local commercial work, stuff like that. And then I met somebody through Ted B. Michaels, the Ted B. Michaels producer, who introduced me to the horror genre, and I absolutely fell in love with it. I'm like, wow, this is great. I can work all the time and, you know, have fun with my craft and not just spend time auditioning for like a 10-second spot in a commercial. So here I am. I feel very, very lucky and blessed to be where I am in the industry.
Donna Hamlin is our guest here. We've got about 35 minutes here with Donna. Now, we'll talk about the different movies that you've been in, you know, you'll probably say, oh, you're just saying that. You've probably never seen them. But I've seen a few of them. Like, for instance, one of my favorites of yours will always be Hellcat's Revenge and Angel of Reckoning. You know, those are my two favorites, and I know you've been in a few. You know, you come from a long line of actors and actresses in your family. We'll talk about that, too, in a little bit. But what's cool, if I'm not mistaken, your grandmother, and I'm only going to touch about this for a little bit because this is your time, but your grandmother did a lot of movies with the Duke, did she not?
Okay, she did, but let me clarify that most of it was what we call featured background, to where you're in the background, but they will put you in front of the camera. So she never starred in them. The speaking part she had was that of a featured extra. And for those of people that don't know, if a lot of times films, commercials, whatnot, they have people come in to fill up the atmosphere, which they need, and that's basically you're considered extra or overboard. So people call it different stuff, atmosphere, yeah. She was good. She had a very unique look, so they used her a lot in front of the camera, even though she was not credited on any of the movies.
You know, speaking of that, you know, I'm so popular in Hollywood, I do a lot of work behind the camera, so they don't ever see me. But that's a story for another time. We have Donna Hamlin as our guest here. We got 33 minutes. So now, I want to talk about my favorite movie, Angel of Reckoning. When you got the role for the movie, did you did they come to you, or did you have to do like months of auditions to get the role? Kind of take us through on how you got the part in the movie.
Well, fortunately, I had worked on a movie a year before that with Lynn, and it was just the opening scene, and that movie was just released. Oh, crap, I'm having a blank in my mind now. Anyhow, he asked me to be in that part, and I was completely flattered, and I didn't realize the intensity and, you know, all that was combined with it. You memorize lines all you want, but when you get on set and you realize how much that part depends on you to make the film really go in certain directions that the director producer wants it to go, then it's like, okay, it's a whole different thing. So, yeah, Len asked me to do that. I love Len. He's a fabulous, fabulous producer, director. I would work with him any chance that I got. This last month I couldn't get away because I was have a business deal here at home I had to attend to. But so I did that, and then he asked me to come back for the part in Hellcat's Revenge, Rosie. And I love all the movies I do. I love all my characters, but I have to say Rosie has got to be my most favorite character I have ever done in a movie.
Now, I hate to ask this, but our fans know it's coming. Do you think maybe you can get your favorite producer to be a guest on our show?
Well, I'll certainly ask him. He's very generous with that. I'll certainly ask him.
Awesome. We have Donna Hamlin as our guest here. We got about 31 minutes here. And like I say, I wish it was 31 years because I have so many things to ask. And you have so many projects in the wings that I want to talk to you about. We'll get to a few of those. But before we do that, I'm going to introduce you to my first co-host, Granny Hulkster. Go ahead, Granny. What do you got for our guest? We have Donna Hamlin. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for being on our show tonight. What is one of your most favorite memories? I know you probably have a lot of favorite memories over the years with the different movies that you've done, but what was one of your most favorite scenes or favorite memories that you did from one of your movies?
Well, first of all, hi, Granny. Granny Hulkster it is, right? That's such a cool name.
Yes.
Like I just mentioned, Rosie from Hellcat's Revenge was my ultimate favorite character to play. I did a scene 2 years ago in Oregon. The producer is Jeff Schneider. And the scene that I did in that movie happened to be with my best friend, who's also an actor. And so that moment that we captured the reality and made everything so magical in our scene, I have to say that that was my favorite moment in a scene. And second was on Ted V. Michael's 10 Violent Women Part 2, which sadly was never released, where I had to play a singer and I had to memorize all these songs and lip sync, and I've never done anything like that.
Wow.
I just went out and I'm like, I'm just going to wing it, and I pulled it off and I was like, oh my God, I feel like a damn queen. Yeah,
wow.
So
That's awesome.
Those have got to be it. Uh-huh. It is a great feeling.
That's awesome.
Donna Hamlin is our guest here. We've got 29 minutes. Now, I'm also going to bring on our other co-host, Tatiana. She also has a little radio show, and she might even want you on her show, too. But, Tatiana, what do you got for our guest? We have Donna Hamlin. We have 28 minutes. Go ahead.
Hi. It's so great to meet you, and I definitely would like you on my show. That would be an honor for me.
Oh, I would be honored, Tatiana. Thank you. It's great to meet you.
Thank you. My show is called Tokyo-ish, and I just wanted to say the first time that I actually, like, recognized you, my dad was playing the CD-ROM of Caesar's World.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, my God. That's so funny. I've never been able to watch that. Ever.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
I literally just put it together. Like, I was like, I know exactly who I'm talking to right now. So I'm
that's so funny. Oh my God. Wow.
I brought up for people that don't know, a CD-ROM, obviously, back in the day was like this gambling like thing. And I don't even remember because, like I said, I'm only 39. So I was into it, but I wasn't into it. And, you know, you're looking at what your parents are doing that you don't. But when I really, really decided that I knew that I liked you, because you're considered a scream queen.
Yeah, I get called that, yes.
Okay, and that is, I'm a big horror movie fan. And again, my parents always grew up watching everything. And, you know, I'm always like with the top 10 scream queens. And I mean, I think you're great. I mean, again, I'm all star.
Oh my God.
I forgot I'm on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh my God. You just made my evening. Wow. Yeah, that's so funny. I haven't heard anybody bring up that game. I do remember in that game because we had to do different characters running through Caesar's Palace on the strip and changing clothes. Oh, it was crazy. But I do remember if you lose, you get me. I do remember that.
I love it. I'm going to lose all the time next time. I'm going to ask my dad, do we still have a CD-ROM available?
So am I.
Oh, you're awesome. Awesome. I love it. Yeah, that's so funny. Wow.
Look, was the blast from the past.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so long ago, and now here I am making movies. I went from that to this, and it's like sometimes you forget where you came from. I totally, completely forgot about that game until you mentioned it. It was a long time ago.
We'll have to play together.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to ask, I'll admit, I didn't know about the game. I'm going to ask about that because we do have some gamers in the audience. We have Donna Hamlin as our guest here, and we have about 26 minutes. Now, real quick, Donna, like I keep telling everybody, I'm not trying to be a wiseacre with this statement, but, every... here in Fargo, usually in October, the end of September, beginning of October, we have what they call Grindflix trailers. And the first movie of yours I ever saw was on Grindflix trailer reel, and the movie was Killer Biker Chick.
Oh, boy, yes. That was about 10 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. And... it's like I'm sure you wanted it you don't want it to be associated with Grindflix, but I mean it after I saw the trailer for that movie, it's like I had to go out and find that movie and I had to watch it, and then I watched it again and I watched it again, and I still have it on VHS. I'll admit it's a pirated copy, but that's another story for another time. We don't we don't condone that here on the show. Donna Hamlin's our guest here. We got about 24 minutes here with Donna. So now you have a lot of stuff going on currently. Do you not? You're involved in a lot of projects, correct?
I am. I mean, of course, like. 2020, 2021 kind of sucked for all of us, so I have not filmed. My last time, my last shoot I actually filmed was in January of 2020, and I'm just dying to get back out there, Some people are like, well, let's hold off, and others are still filming and just being cautious with the virus, and me, I'm just like, I'm just itching to get back in front of the camera and create, But, yeah, the last time I filmed was January 2020, and it was a film called Uncommon Bond, which was completely, mostly improvised, and that you can get Joe Sherlock released that on his Skull Face Astronaut page. But that's basically about a woman who loses her son, and she's trying to cope by doing a vlog. And when I was first given the script through the writer Luc Vigneault, I was like, how am I going to make this work? Because my husband was so much younger. So we got together, we masterminded this, and I was amazed that we actually made it work, but it did. And it's getting really good reviews. It was a very intense movie to film.
For those of fans that we have a lot of fans here in the chat room that want me to ask you about this and that, and they get a lot of I know that a lot of our listeners go to IMDb, but one listener is asking me about the King, the Swordsman, and the Sorceress. Could you tell us about that?
Okay, that's with producer Jeff Schneider, who I've worked with a few times. He's amazing. That movie is not yet to be released, to be filmed. It's in pre-production, and I think he's in post-production of two other movies. I'm not exactly sure when he's going to start that, but I know it's a big plus on him that he wants to get that done. And he's amazing. I have no... let me tell you, Jeff, when I was there last time, he filmed three movies in a week. And I was like, how is he going to do this? My God, he did. He did a fantastic job. So I wouldn't doubt it if next time he films, he's going to throw that in there. So that's from producer Jeff Schneider, and it's in pre-production.
And you were in all three of those films that he filmed in the week?
I was in two of them. I was in Loose Luck, which I just saw the screener for. It's actually pretty a thrill seeker. And I was in Alien Wars. who stars Luc Besnier.
And Loose Luck, you actually, your character's name is actually my favorite name of all time, Nadia.
Nadia, really?
Nadia.
I know, it kind of sounds like
you
got to
say it like that. Yeah, you got to say
Nadia. You do. Certain names just are pronounced that way, right? Loose Luck was very intense to film. She's like the girl next door. Just a play, and believe it or not, and a lot of actors will tell you this, the normal everyday people are the hardest people to play and create and make it look real. It's weird, but it's true.
And
you have to spend time with them, like you know, to do that, you have to spend time with them to catch their mannerisms and, you know.
No, you don't, because... No, that would be easy if you could do that. But what it is, like Nadia, it was the lead in this movie. And as I said, she was the girl next door. But you have to find all that within yourself. Playing a character, I mean, if you look at Evil Under the Skin, I was playing like this total weird chick. I mean, that was just like came natural to me. If you will. But Loose Luck, just playing in there, it's like because you have boundaries that you cannot go out of when you're trying to make that look real on screen. And it's very, very difficult to do without playing yourself.
And Loose Luck, I guess, is the release date is supposed to be 1 year from now, December 30th of 2022. And like I say, if you can hook us up with Jeffrey Schneider, I'd like to have him on the show, and he can pitch any project that he's got going. And you know, I can also try and get a job. You know, I'd be willing to carry his bags and get his coffee. And now, like if you need a bodyguard, I mean, hey, I can. I can get coffee and I can get cappuccino.
I
can carry bags.
I did like 10 years ago. Where were you?
I didn't know bodyguards got coffee.
Yeah, well, that would be my bodyguard's job, part of their job, I think.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm usually the nice one getting coffee for people. So, yeah, I'll help you with the coffee. How about that?
Awesome. I can give you my great recipe for making a great dark roast coffee. We can talk about that another time. Donna Hamlin is our guest here. We got 18 minutes now. We're not going to touch on this too much because, you know, it is kind of depressing. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, COVID a little bit. How kind of take us through a little bit on how that did sideline you.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, being locked down, you know, for 2 months and then trying to get back into the chaotic world and not traveling. I'm used to flying several times a year and filming and being with my friends. I mean, that's like my true joy in life is that. And to not be able to do any of that, I have never felt so lonely in my life as I have the last 2 years because, you know, you have Messenger, you have Face, you time, you have all this, but it does not compare to actual touch and hug of a human being. And, you know, 99.9% of the people that I have filmed with in this industry have become my really, really good friends. And so with that and just not being able to film, you feel, I'm sure I'm not the only one, and I'm not boo-hoo me, but you feel like, you know, a big part of your life is taken away. And it's like, what do I do now, you know?
Donna Hamlin's our guest. Yeah, Donna Hamlin's our guest here. We got about 17 minutes. Now, when you, you know, you mentioned that, you know, he's one of your all-time favorite, you know, producers. Is it one of those deals that all he's got to do is call you and you're right there? Or, you know, do you have to, like, put on a schedule? Or how does that work if someone wanted to have you in their show, like Jeffrey, for instance?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, first of all, again, 99.9% of the producers that I've ever worked with, if they gave me a call, I'd be there in a minute. I'd be there in a heartbeat. I've worked with some fabulous, fabulous producers and directors. You know, with Len, I'm hoping, if he's listening to this, I'm hoping that I could call him and say, you know, hey, I'd like to have just a bit part or something, and he would trust me. He's trusted me so far, but I mean, he's got some amazing array of actors that want to work for him. I so badly, because we got a lockdown and everything, and he just started filming Pact of Vengeance with John Mickey Thor, and oh my God, just if you could look it up on IMDb, the cast is amazing. But I wanted so bad to call him up and say, listen, I'll just come and do craft service so I could just be there and watch the acting and this, you know. So, I mean, that's how much I respect. And I would do the same for Jeff or any of the people that I've worked with. I've had one producer many, 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 many years ago that I had a bad experience with. But other than that, I have nothing but the most respect for anybody else. So I would be hoping I could call them and they'd say, yeah, but who knows? I don't know. Maybe they're like, no, she sucks. I don't want her again.
Well, you know, with that being said, though, you know, have you ever had a situation like, is there any type of role that's out of your wheelhouse that you will not do? I mean, you mentioned that you're a scream queen. Well, we can talk about that a little bit, because I know when I call you at 2 in the morning, I can hear you screaming all the way from Los Angeles because I'm calling you again. I understand that. But, you know, but anyway, is there any kind of role that's like out of your wheelhouse that you will not do at all?
You know, with an actor and trying to be creative, the only thing that I will not do full nudity. And I actually had somebody write a movie that wanted me to do full nudity and be the star, and they wrote it with me in mind, and I was completely, completely grateful and honored. And I told them, I said, listen, I won't do the full nudity, I said, because I just don't have the body for it. He's like, I can make the camera look. I said, I just don't feel comfortable doing it, you know. So other than that, you know, I played in Misery, in a play, Stephen King's Misery. I had to break somebody's legs, and, you know, I mean, it would be very, very tough to be somebody that, like, harms a child or a disabled person or something. But what you have to do is bring that out in the character and make it work, and you just find a way to do it to where it does. But would I do those roles? Yes, I would. Would it be enjoyable? No, it would be very, very difficult, because a lot of times you have to find that in yourself, you know. So.
Well, you know, I understand the whole not want to do the full nudity thing. I understand that, you know, but I'm not just saying this, but I've seen many pictures of you, like the card I made for you, that little collector's card I made for you. I mean, you're a beautiful actress, and I'm not just saying that because you're on the show with us, but you are beautiful, you know?
Bless your heart. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You know, and it you know, it's awesome. And the cool thing is, what, you know, you've done a lot of stuff on the big screen. Let me ask you this. Would you ever translate down to like the small screen, like the television, and do like a TV series or something like that? Or would you just, because you're already on the big screen, you want to stay there?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, I can't say I wouldn't do a TV series. Of course, what actor or actress wouldn't? But I do like being on the big screen. Doing a TV series, I mean, to me, I just see their day full of learning lines, rehearse this. And what I do is I get to dig in and do the creative part of creating a character. Take Rosie, for example. That, to me, is so much fun, because I find all these little nicks and cracks and, oh, she could do this and this and this. And I write it down when I'm reading the script. And then I'll do even more in person. I don't know if people on a series can do that. I've never been on a series, so I can't really say, but that's my take on it. As long as the creative nature's there.
Donna Hamlin's our guest here. We got about 12 minutes. Now, so with all the stuff that you're doing now and all the stuff that you've done in the past, I'm kind of curious, and I'll understand if you don't want to answer this, but is there any role that you played that you're like, oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have done this?
Oh, there's a lot, yes. And it's not because of who I worked with or the movie itself. It's because I'm my worst critic, and I'm like, oh, my God, I shouldn't have tried to pull that off or whatever. Usually I will tell a producer ahead of time or a director if they want me for something. I'll say, you know, I really just don't think I'm right for that part, but I think this person or that person is. I've done that with Ted several times, Ted V. Michaels. So, I mean, I look back at some of my early work, like even in Killer Biker Chicks, I was given the script the day of shooting. I had no idea what it entailed or what I was supposed to do. And I was like, oh, my God, wow. You know, it is kind of grindhouse, you know, and it's almost like people veer it as a cult movie. But I look back and go, oh, my God. But other than that, I don't think so, because each one has been a learning experience, and I feel like I have grown since, and I learned from what I've done. So I don't know if that really answers the question or not.
Well, it actually does pretty good. I guess the next question I have then is, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you say you might not be right. You might not be right for a role, but you say, well, this person might be great. You know, maybe you can throw out my name to a director and say, hey, this egotistical maniac in Fargo, North Dakota, would be perfect for that, because he gets shot in the first 5 minutes. He'd be perfect.
Oh, you're first on my list. Trust me. I've got your back, buddy. I will. Yes, definitely.
And hey, I work for as long as you give me a couch to sleep on and a couple of hot dogs and maybe pay my rent for the month, I'm in. And I don't work for much, you know.
Yeah, well, welcome to the world of acting, because that's pretty much what it is for everybody. And that's okay.
Donna
Hamlin's
on that one.
Right.
You what?
You'll have to share the couch on that one.
Yeah, probably.
You need a fold-out couch, yeah.
Right. Yeah, have me sleep with a dog or something. Donna Hamlin's our guest here. We got about 9 minutes. So now my next set of questions is dealing with, as you're filming the movies that you're in, and, you know, they always talk about, you know, dailies and all this stuff. By the time that you're done filming a movie, you've probably seen every scene like 50 times, right?
No, not necessarily. I mean, the scenes that I've done or who was on before me or sometimes after maybe. But other than that, here's the thing. They always say make best friends with the editor, because they will make or break you as an actor. There's been times where, yeah, I've done the scene. Usually not 50 times, but I mean, there's been some where it's done several times, and it's like, okay, that one felt good. That one felt good. But by time it comes to watching it, the editor might, oh, I like this piece and that piece, and it might look totally different. I'll give you an example. I did a movie once. I had this character build up where I was a doctor, and I was trying to tell about paranormal, this and this. So I was very confident, very sophisticated. And the editor who did the movie, he was pretty green at it, and he did it as a favor. Super, super nice guy. I won't mention the movie or his name, but when I saw the edited version, I walked away from this feeling like, good. I felt good about what I did. And by the time I watched it, it looked like I didn't know how to act. I was like, wow, that's not what I did.
Well, you know, speaking of, you know, being friends with the editor, have you ever had, like, a scene that you've done, let's say, for instance, it's a 10-minute scene, and then you're watching the movie, and you're like, wait, that was 10 minutes. Why is there only 4 minutes of it? Has that ever happened?
No, because I know a lot of it's cut, the movie work. You know, they can't have, like, you know, 3 hours of scenes, and then people get bored if it's drawn out too much. So, you know, in editing and post, sometimes, you know, it will be longer, and sometimes it will be shorter, and sometimes you'll end up, you know, in a can on the floor. They won't even use a scene. That's happened plenty of times too. So I don't get disappointed or anything like that because I know they're doing what they have to do to make the movie work, in the end, make it a good product.
And I think
there's
one time – go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say there's been a few times where I've tried to use little quirks, you know, this and that, where it's like, oh, I hope they keep that in because it shows with my character. You know, I come up with all kinds of little gadgets and gadgets with my characters, and they haven't. And I was like, oh, well, it's okay. At least I had fun doing it.
And I think one time you described yourself as old world with exotic flair. Is that correct?
I did not say that about myself. Somebody else said it in a magazine interview. I think on IMDb it reads that I've been told that I this, which I find very, very pleasing. I think that's a wonderful compliment.
You know, and when you do all these interviews, I was always curious about that. I mean, you know, you mentioned that that's not how you quoted yourself, but that's how they took dramatic liberties. Do you ever like do an interview and then it comes out in a magazine stand and you read it like, wait, I didn't say that. How often does that happen?
That's never happened to me. So I'm very fortunate, but that's never happened to me. There was one time where there was a miscommunication with the pictures, so I had to stop the print in a magazine at no fault of theirs and no fault of mine or the middle person. But other than that, and they did, and I was bummed. But other than that, no, I've never come across that. I would let them know, and I would stop it if it did. I don't like people putting words in my mouth or anybody else's for that matter.
Now, is there any role that that you've always wanted to play that you hope to play, like maybe like a biographical film, or is there like one role that you've always wanted to play that you're still striving to play?
A biography, that would be tough to pull off. I really give these actresses and actors credit that can do that, because that's not an easy thing to do. I have to say I love doing horror. I love being, you know, called the Scream Queen, and I mean the intensity is amazing. I love doing action. I love doing thriller, which is a lot what I've been geared at lately. But I mean, to me, like the most ridiculous, nerdy character, I mean, to me, I may have a chance to do that next year in a film called The Accident, if Jeff Schneider decides to do it. The character is just ridiculous, and to me, that's what I would love to play. I played it in a 48-hour film festival because they asked, do you want to be part of it, Donna? I said, only if I could be like this total geeky nerd girl. But I haven't had the chance to really put that on a large film, and that would just like totally rock my world if I could do that.
And for those of you who have never seen our guest before, Donna Hamlin, I hope you won't get upset with this comparison, but Donna, She's kind of like a cross between Lucy Liu and Xena the Warrior Princess. I think she would be great as a big screen adaptation of Xena the Warrior Princess. I mean, I think you'd be awesome with that.
I agree.
Well, thank you. That's also been like a big fantasy of mine to do, because I used to be a professional fencer, and I used to do show swords, show sabers, everything like that. So I always thought that would be super, super cool to do.
Donna Hamlin is our guest. We only got a few minutes here. If our fans want to check you out so we can do this, do you have a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a website, a TikTok? What do you got?
I'm boring. I only have a website. You could catch me. My website is www.DonnaHamlin, my name, .Weebly, WEEBLY.com. It's usually kept updated all the time. Unfortunately, it hasn't been updated in 20 years because I've been boring for 20, or not 20, excuse me. It hasn't been updated in 2 years. But then, of course, you can contact me on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram. Again, my Instagram post is like the last 2 years have been my animals and kit and, you know, the boys, and that's it. I'm like, I need to get a life. I need to get some films on here.
So I guess you could say that being on our show has been one of your biggest highlights in the last 2 years then.
Yes, it has, but it would be regardless, so.
That's awesome. Donna Hamlin's our guest here. We only got about a few minutes here. I do want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us. You have been most awesome, and if we haven't scared you away too much, we would definitely like to have you back on again. If you can hook us up with your favorite producer there, I think that'd be awesome. And like I say, we'll pitch anything he's got, and we'll bring our masses to his films. And I think that Jeffrey would be a great interview, seeing as how his last name is the same as my mother's maiden name. So we're in good company there.
I will definitely contact both of them tomorrow and let them know that you would love to do an interview. They're both very nice people. I'm sure if they have the time, they wouldn't have a problem with it. So, and you would have a lot of fun interviewing them. And I'm trying to think of stuff.
Right, and then
now.
Also one last thing for our fans here listening. You go to our Facebook page, Off the Ropes, like that. You go to 89.1 Kens FM's page on Facebook, like that. Do a $10 donation a month to help power the tower. We would appreciate that, and we'll get you qualified to win an autographed picture from a future guest, past guest, or present guest. And I'll understand if you turn me down for this, Donna, but would you be willing to send us a few autographs for some giveaways?
Absolutely, I'll do it.
Awesome. Yay. I'll send you that information. We do thank you for joining us, and you have been awesome. And I know I kept you a little longer than I promised, but I do thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys are all awesome. I look forward to talking to you guys again. You're amazing.
Thanks, Donna. We love you.
All right, ditto. I'll talk to you guys. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thanks, Donna. All right. Wow, Donna Hamlin, what an awesome interview. That was great. We got about a few minutes here before. Yeah, we got a few minutes here before we got to wrap up the show. And, as you know, Tatiana, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I was I've been auditioning the whole night to be a guest on your show, and
yes.
Hopefully maybe we can make that happen.
Oh, listen, you won me when we talked on Facebook real briefly. I was like, look at that nice handsome man.
Well, I appreciate you calling me handsome. I must have the wrong picture. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, I loved it. I can't wait. I really would love you on there. I would love Granny Hulkster on there on my show and all your guests. I mean, you've amazed me. I've been starstruck. I forgot I was on a show.
All right. Well, before we sign off here, tell us again how they can catch your show.
All right. You can go on Spotify, on Megaphone, on New Age Radio, Amazon, all the platforms. It's Talk Yo-ish Podcast. That's Talk Yo and then ISHH. And my name's Tatiana Vitiello. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube, Snapchat, Twitter, The Clapper, all of them. It's all Tatiana Vitiello, our Talk Yo-ish Podcast. That's ISHH.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we got the 90-second cue, so we want to have everybody be safe. Join us at the same time next week, 89.1 Kens FM. And until next week, be nice to each other, love each other, and we will see you all next week. Be looking for our Facebook page to find out who we got on next week. We love you all. Talk to you then.
You think you know me.
Bye.